One of the counselors who voted to have Tyler in that seat is our next guest. He represents Thurlow Ward. We say hello to Belleville Councillor Paul Carr. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Warren. How are you?
I'm well. This all week has seemed like it's been great for talk radio, but completely unnecessary, I think, for the city of Belleville. I'm going to ask you the exact same first question I asked Mayor Panchuk yesterday, and that was the word we're seeming to hear around on social media, on the show, everywhere, is where did the democracy go?
Yeah, well, all I'm going to say is that, I said this at council, I'm the only member who's been through this process before. I was on council back in 2000 and 2003 when Councillor Stu Meeks passed away. And so, we basically went to the ballot and the next candidate and appointed that person. So when I kind of heard rumblings that things may be a little different this time around, I, of course, went out to social media and said, what do people think? Because, and I've said this all along, like, as a true representative, the best way to represent people is to hear from them. And so, clearly this has been a practice in the past. I think it was the expectation of the community that that would occur. And so obviously when it didn't, there's been certainly a lot of dialogue. And, my email and my phone's been busy for several days now, and I haven't even responded to all of them just because the volume is unbelievable right now.
Well, and let's put this out there a little bit. Sometimes council doesn't or shouldn't necessarily go to the general public for information. So when the pandemic happened, we need to go to the Hastings Prince Edward Medical Officer of Health and get information from them. There's certain circumstances where experts know better on how to handle things that will affect the city greatly. And then there are things where the general public really can have a say and should be consulted. And I firmly believe, and I do understand the other aspect of this or the other side, but I firmly believe that this is one of those situations where the public really has said what they believe should have happened, and it didn't.
Yeah, and typically, like I said, when this does happen, the practice has been to appoint the next candidate. And, some may argue, well, gee, that's easy to do. But I would argue that it's the responsible thing to do because the citizens have had input. They casted their ballot, and the candidates were ranked. And so, and like I said at the meeting, we don't own the seats. They're not ours. They belong to the residents. And, candidates put their names forward. Go through a campaign and you hope you're successful. But at the end of the day, it's the residents who give you the privilege to sit there and represent them. And that privilege can get taken away just as easily. But it's their seats, not ours. And I never sit there thinking that I have an entitlement to this or that I own it, because I certainly don't.
When you heard the four that were against putting Tyler up, what was going through your mind? There was a lot of words there, a lot of words being said that some of it had really nothing to do with, the job at hand, which is to find somebody to fill that seat.
Yeah, well, I anticipated that this was going to occur. Yesterday the mayor suggested that, there was four individuals that didn't provide any input whatsoever. And I'm assuming that I was probably me included in that group, but that's categorically false. I had a meeting with the mayor, and I basically said, look, I don't think Tyler Alsop's going to be the one that's going to be chosen, so I'm thinking of forming a committee, and here's a list of individuals that I'm considering. And my input to him then was, I don't think that's a good idea. And talk to him about my past experience and talk to him about how if there is going to be a committee, it should be like any other committee. Council needs to have say in the composition. We had a conversation about the procedural bylaw. So I anticipated some of this anyway, and that's why I even went to the integrity commissioner to get an opinion on the procedural bylaw, just simply because, there's expectations of how things should go and rules need to be followed. But I can say is I provided input, and then I followed it up in an email, and then we had a phone call. I guess he just didn't like the input I provided, so then I dismissed it as he didn't provide any input. And I wasn't going to give names to the committee because I didn't feel that the committee has any standing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people were a little shocked then when soon as this motion failed to bring Tyler in, a committee was announced with a whole bunch of names. Were you, you know, it was, I think it was surprising. We've heard grumbling, certainly here in the media, about this going on for a long time. But were you surprised that, those names came out so quickly?
Well, no, because again, a week earlier, I had a conversation with the mayor about it, and he rhymed those names off to me. And that's when I provided him my opinion and my input and told him point blank that I don't think this is a good idea. And I don't think that it's going to be well received in the public. And I certainly don't think that all of council is going to be in favor of that. And, you know, the thing is when you're dealing with a group of people, and particularly if you're trying to build consensus, you have to look at different views. And in anything else, when you have a group, there's compromise. And that's how things move forward. And, you know, so that's why I basically said, I don't think this will work. I said, if you're looking at a committee, you're going to want to float this idea by council. You're going to want to have input from them in terms of members. And we need to do it in a open setting because that's where the business of the city needs to be done.
Do you think this was simply by not putting Tyler in place, simply a way to ensure Mayor Panchuk has the 5-4 vote he needs to get his agenda through?
Yeah, I know I've heard those comments. I don't know. You know, again, I'm not 100% certain as to the motivation. I certainly hear the argument, and I understand. And even listening to my colleagues that voted on the other side, I don't disagree with what they're saying. But if you're going to remove, you need to remove barriers. So, for example, I use this illustration when talking with a couple of residents. We have sidewalks all over the city, and we have curbs. But if we didn't have accessibility ramps, that sidewalk is not available to everybody. And whether you choose to use the sidewalk is an individual choice. But by putting the ramp in there, we make it accessible for anyone who chooses to use it. And it's the same thing when it comes to council, is there's ways and means within the infrastructure, if you will, and the way we organize ourselves to break down barriers to encourage different groups or different demographics to participate as elected officials. But you look at those, barriers and knock them down. So I don't disagree with their argument of we need to do that. But parachuting somebody in isn't the way.
Well, it creates a whole bunch of issues as well. For example, you know, this is not just Pat Culhane's empty chair. In a few months, there could be another empty chair. We heard earlier this week when we talked to Ryan Williams, who's the new candidate for the Conservatives in Bay of Quinte, that if the writ falls, he's going to step down. So there's another chair. So would you be in favor of a bylaw that kind of plays out how the city of Belleville will choose candidates in this particular, when this kind of situation occurs?
Well, you know, it's certainly something to consider and probably something to consider right now, just given what's transpired. And you know, again, yes, somebody did occupy that seat and I don't take away anything from that. But at the end of the day, and even the seat that I sit in today, it's not Paul Carr's seat. So if I leave tomorrow, that's not my vacant seat. It's a vacant seat that is owned, if you will, by the residents. And they decide how that seat gets filled. So I might have held the office or whatever, but once that seat is vacant, it's not mine anymore. And I can't stress that enough. So, and it's the same thing when we were having the discussion. I wasn't having the discussion about Mr. Alsop. I even said the motion on the floor is the next person on the ballot. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to get into the personality of, you know, do I think you'd be a good counselor or not? That's not my judgment call, just as I can't judge the performance of my colleagues that are there now. That's not what I am supposed to do.
That's what Kelly McCaw clearly did by saying that maybe he wasn't ready or didn't understand the necessity of the job. Counselor Sandison said, hey, I serve on all these committees. I didn't see him on one. I mean, that's clearly judging him as a potential, quote unquote, bad candidate for the role.
And I can't speak to that argument other than say I disagree with it. And that's why when I sought clarification, you go back, look at the meeting, I said there was a name mentioned, Mr. Alsop, but I said, oh, so the next person on the ballot, because I'm not getting into evaluating. And that's what this, you know, advisory group, I'm not even going to call it committee because I don't think it has any standing. You know, a couple of things that were said yesterday, council didn't decide on this committee. The mayor decided on it. He acted on it on his own. And council didn't decide that the next candidate wouldn't get it. It was a 4-4 tie. It was a loss. That's how it works. Motions that are tied are lost. So I don't appreciate the explanation because it's not accurate. Council didn't decide on this committee, and there was some reporting that was even done that it was a council committee. It's not. And I would even go as far as to say it's not a true ad hoc committee because council hasn't affirmed the membership as in a vote as per a bylaw like we do for anything else. And the procedural bylaw is clear, and the integrity commissioner was very clear in his opinion that he provided to me that I shared at council.
So where does this go from here, Paul? Obviously, everybody's split. City is quite angry. People are freaking out. Literally, I've never seen the reaction to anything that has happened as strong as this. Honestly, I haven't. I mean, I got off the air yesterday, and there were 6 calls waiting, like people who have recorded messages on my machine.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, your lines are filled. So the general public is really mad.
Yep.
And it didn't have to be that way, in my opinion. So where does it go from here?
Well, I don't know. I will say this is, and I pointed this out as well, that, you know, there was the suggestion that if we don't fill the seat in 60 days as per the Municipal Act, that the Minister of Municipal Affairs is going to wipe us all out and, you know, have a by-election for the entire council. That's false, categorically false. I got a career in the criminal justice system, and the rule of law is important. We all are underneath the law. Nobody is above the law, and the rule of law is critical. And so there's nothing in there that says the case. What it says is if we're unable to establish quorum within 60 days. And the reason why you need quorum is what? To advance the business of the city. And like I said at this last council meeting when we were debating this, that we've had 4 council meetings, and we have had a budget meeting, and we have set a capital budget for 2021. So we have materially advanced the business of the city. We've approved a CIP. We've done a lot of things, and a lot of things coming up, even in our next council meeting in January that we're going to have to deal with. And the business will continue. We can continue with 8. And so, I want to tell the residents that the business of the city, the operation of the city will continue, and council will be able to make business decisions in order to deal with capital projects and contracts and all the things that we do to make the city run and offer services. So that's not going to change. And I pointed to West Nipissing as a prime example. They had a resignation. They can't come to an agreement, and they are months and months, months later, a council of 8. And the CAO sought advice from Municipal Affairs. They said, look, until you sort it out, you're a council of 8. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I will say that I'm going to continue to do my job as a councillor. I'm still going to obviously continue to represent the citizens of Belleville and make sure that we're materially advancing the business of the city so that it continues to operate as expected by the taxpayers.
Are you mad that this is happening?
I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated was probably the term that this could have been very simple. We could have moved on. And, at the end of the day, from a political perspective, candidates can start registering a year from this summer, essentially. And so then you're kind of getting into the political side of council and what have you, because you're getting into the election cycle. So people are running and the campaigns start to kick off. So, you know, there isn't that much time left, and so this could have played itself out. We could have looked at all the barriers of why people aren't running, and look at ways and means to open up and create those opportunities and really have a true dialogue about the obstacles. Because I think there's a valid discussion that needs to be had, but it can't be had under this cloud, because that's not doing that justice in terms of breaking down barriers. So it's a little frustrating that it's played out this way. And again, my biggest thing is the truth needs to be told. And so if you know, council isn't making a decision on this committee, and council, you know, it was a tie and a loss. So there needs to be some accuracy as to how things are actually taking place. And that's the thing that I get frustrated with.
In theory, when this committee or whoever brings a name or names to you, it could still be a 4-4 tie on each of those names.
Correct.
And then what happens?
Well, I just told you. We continue on operating as an 8-person council.
And in theory, that could happen for 18 months.
In theory, it could happen just the same way as it's currently happening in West Nipissing. And it's all about, the expectation is the city and the business of the city is going to continue. And that's my expectation, you know, and we can go down to 5 members and still have quorum. So it's not ideal for certain votes, but it can continue. So I can't speak for any other member, but I was very clear in my comments during debate. I am resolute in my position. I'm not deviating from this. And I felt that way going into it, and hearing what the residents have to say, and that's not just on social media, but that is people taking the time of calling and having good discussions and emails and explaining how they feel, I'm even more firm in my position, because I know that I have the residents behind me, and I'm going to represent their views.
Thurlow Ward Councillor for the City of Belleville, Paul Carr, thank you so much for the time today.